Good afternoon. Those who have noticed, we have a beautiful new reading Bible, which I don't use to read from, but I like to place it there to remind us that this is our sole authority, the Word of God itself. Good afternoon, and we're busy in the Beatitudes, so you may want to turn to Matthew chapter 5 for this long reading, the whole of chapter verse 7. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7 simply says this: "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And as we come to the fifth beatitude today, we notice, as with all the other beatitudes, there is duty and there is reward. In this fifth beatitude, we have the duty to be merciful and the reward, for they shall receive mercy. And we've noted that the blessings promised in the first four beatitudes are a direct result of the gospel grace in our lives. Though it is a duty, it is something that we cannot do in and of ourselves. The blessedness is pronounced: poverty of spirit, a mourning for sin, meekness of heart, and a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. These good, wonderful graces, these are all brought about by the work of the Spirit in the heart. And the duty that is required in the first four are given to the sinner in the grace of the gospel, with the promised result of the reward. It's kind of like that policeman who gives you the chocolate sundae the Sunday after you've incurred a speeding fine. None of these can be generated from the heart of sinful man outside the gospel. They come about by the Spirit of God in the heart to give us both the desire and the gift of these graces, completely outside of man's effort or exertion to earn them in any way whatsoever, as some churches, the Roman Catholic Church, do in fact in this very beatitude: show works of mercy, do much mercy so that you can get mercy. And they get it the wrong way round. Well, the beatitudes now from the fifth one shift more to the manifestation of the positive good in the believer. The first four were just the grace of God given to the believer. In other words, the fruits of a new creation and the blessings of the transformed character, the child of God. So they're dealing more with this realm, in the realm of this progressive righteousness or sanctification. And we touched on the two aspects just 2 weeks ago of the imputed righteousness of Christ and the progressive righteousness given to us in our sanctification. Our Lord Jesus here describes, as it were, the character of his genuine disciples from this beatitude on. Now, once again, the position in relation to the other beatitudes is, in its context, is another key to understanding this beatitude. In the preceding verse, the soul is seen hungering and thirsting after Christ, and then is filled by him. Having obtained the mercy of the Lord, the saved sinner now exercises mercy. And that's the right way round. Having obtained the mercy of the Lord, the redeemed sinner, the saved sinner, now exercises mercy. And that's what we want to try and achieve today. What is mercy? How is it displayed? And how must we show mercy? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We have three simple points, really simple sermon today. It's the gospel and it's the duty of the disciple. Number one, what is mercy? Number one, what is mercy? Well, it's important to understand, obviously, what mercy is. And by English or any language definition, what it means to be merciful, as man differs greatly from what mercy is in God. Man is reactive and mutable. In other words, we react to things in the same with our mercy, and we are mutable. We changed all the time, but God is perfect and immutable, unchanging. To understand God more fully and biblically, God communicates his perfections to us through anthropomorphisms. In other words, the eye of God, the hands, the arms, the ear of God, and the lips of God. We read about this in the Bible. God does not have a body like us. God is spirit, but he communicates his perfections to us in this way. Otherwise, we could not even begin to understand the perfections of God. For example, the eye of God sees everything. We cannot hide our bodies, our souls, from him anywhere. Well, God is omniscient. He knows all things. God is omnipresent. There is nowhere where God is not. He is everywhere. We have three sub-points under this, what is mercy? Number one, a definition of mercy. And it's funny, I'm not actually going to give you a definition, but we need to ask what it is. The English dictionaries all say pretty much the same thing. And I looked up a couple of dictionaries. Mercy is compassion or forbearance, especially to an offender or to one subject to one's power. Lenient or compassionate treatment. Compassionate or kind forbearance shown to an offender, another one says, an enemy or other persons in one's power. Compassion, pity, benevolence. The disposition to be compassionate or forbearing, particularly towards an adversary. Interesting. Or the discretionary power of a judge to pardon someone or to mitigate punishment, especially to send to prison rather than invoke the death penalty. Mercy is an act of kindness, compassion, or favor. She has performed countless small mercies for friends and neighbors, something that gives evidence of divine favor or blessing. As you can see, there are many. It was just a mercy that we had our seatbelts on during that accident. The language origin of mercy comes from the Anglo-French word merci, which we know the French word, and from Latin mercies, how you pronounce that, I'm not sure. And it's interesting that it can mean price paid, wages, from the word merx with an X to mean merchandise. In other words, a payment of something. So the verb merciful means full of mercy, characterized by expressing or showing mercy, compassionate. The Bible speaks to us of a merciful God that can carry an idea of price paid for benefits. Consider Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift of God comes as a result of something paid without cost to the beneficiary. That is mercy. It was a high price for sin, death, but this was paid in Christ's death. The price was met. The payment was executed for the benefit of another. That is mercy. Well, that's being said, the definitions for mercy in the English relate primarily to the mercy of man and really is inadequate. For man is moved to mercy. For example, by witnessing suffering, we are moved to mercy. We don't always do anything about it, but we can be moved to suffering. Well, Pastor Samba's little book I've mentioned before, Deity and Decree. And in this little book, Pastor Sam points out that some think of mercy as hot misery. In other words, words we feel another's suffering and act in kindness towards them as a result, hot mercy. But God is not moved to mercy by suffering. He also points out that God does not enter our misery or participate in our sufferings because God is eternally blessed forever. The Bible speaks, though, of a God who is rich in mercy. But unlike man, there is no cause for mercy in God. He is mercy. As he is love, as he is holy, and he is omnipotent and omniscient, all these things that we see as attributes are in fact God's perfections, and they are all one. They are all what God is in and of himself. And that's wonderful. This is our God. And this then is where we should go for our definition of mercy, to God. And the mercy found in his perfection. Which brings us to our second sub-point. God is mercy. God is mercy. We often say of someone who's extremely wealthy, how much money has he got? And we'll say, he's full of it. Sometimes we talk of someone who's very proud. We say, he's just full of it, isn't he? He's just full of himself. But God displays his mercy because he is full of it. He is mercy. As we said before, mercy is one of his attributes together with all his other perfections in and of himself, and he is one. He is full of it. It is who he is. God is all these things in perfection in himself. Love, mercy, grace, faithfulness, holiness, justice, omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, triune, simple, spirit, infinite, eternal, and we can go on, all God's perfections in and of himself. God is mercy. Apostle Sam points out in this book that the mercy of God is God helping the helpless. The mercy of God is God helping the helpless. And excuse me, Sam, but I'm going to quote something from his book. He says, "But the mercy of God is infinitely superior to man's precisely because God's mercy does not search for a cause in one's suffering. God is merciful from the plentiful fullness of his own infinite goodness. He is the source and cause of his own mercy. His mercy comes from himself, not from the ones suffering or by a connection to them, and to the extent that God's mercy is free from causes outside of itself, to that extent, God is free and able to have mercy on all those whom he will have mercy." That is God's mercy. So to Exodus 33 and 19, and he said, speaking to Moses, when Moses said, "I'm afraid, I don't know who you are, I don't know how to say what and who you are to the people." And God said, "I will make my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." God is mercy. He is full of mercy. And all his dealings with his people from the beginning, especially from the fall, have always been merciful. And I love this. If you read the Old Testament and the Ark of the Covenant that was built right after the giving of the law, the central piece of the Ark was what? The mercy seat on top of the Ark, and the cherubim with their great wings and the mercy seat in the shadow of their wings. And significantly below in the Ark, the law of God and the tablets of stone, as mercy triumphs over judgment. By the shedding of blood and the sprinkling of blood, day after day after day, on that mercy seat, until the blood of the new covenant, and once for all the blood of Christ spilt on that mercy seat by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God is mercy. Our third sub point, believers are called to be merciful. Believers are called to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And mercy is always a quality that God demanded from his people. For this is how God dealt with him, in mercy and in loving kindness. And as the scriptures clearly show, a curse hangs over the head of the unmerciful man again and again. Psalm 109 is a good example. If you read from verse 6 to 14, I'm not going to read it. It's the many judgments of God that are called upon a wicked man. The psalmist then gives us the reason, the main reason, for the curse upon this wicked man, and primarily this very thing, his refusal to show mercy. We read verse 16 to 18 of that Psalm 109. For he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and the needy, the brokenhearted, put them to death. He loved to curse, let curses come upon him. He did not delight in blessing. May it be far from him. He clothed himself with cursing as his coat. May it soak in his body like water, like oil on his bones. Curses upon the wicked who refused to show mercy. As many Old Testament passages, the Lord appeals to his people to show mercy in their dealings. Zechariah 7, 9 and 10. Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgment, show kindness and mercy one to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Merciful man is the blessed man. 2 Samuel 22, 26, with the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. And even our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, he gave us two parables that talk only about this very thing. Show mercy. Show mercy. That those people who profess God as their God and who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him are to show mercy. The first parable was of the unforgiving servant. And we read Matthew 18:33 at the end of that. And should you not have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? The second is the parable of the Good Samaritan. You probably guessed it. Luke chapter 10. And there Jesus says, which of these three, those who passed by, the man who was robbed, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. And the Holy Spirit through James declares, mercy triumphs over judgment for those who show mercy. And that to show mercy is the wisdom that is from above, that is from God. James 2 and 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. In James 3, 17, a couple of verses later, at the next chapter, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Well, perhaps we're starting to understand something of what mercy is, and that the mercy of God is helping the helpless, and understanding that God is mercy in and of himself, and that he always deals mercifully with his children, for he is full of mercy. And having seen from the scriptures that God requires his people to be merciful, we observe in the second main point, our second main point, how does God display his mercy? How does God display his mercy? And the quick answer here is one you'd all give me, that God displays his mercy in every way, particularly to the child of God. But even to the wicked and the unbelieving, God displays his mercy in many ways, through forbearance and suffering, long-suffering, through common grace that God grants to all men, through the free offer of the gospel, where God commands and he offers the free grace of the gospel. Let's, however, focus our attention on the display of his mercy to his people. How does God display his mercy to his people? We just have two simple sub-points. First of all, he displays his mercy in covenants. God displays his mercy in his covenant. We are aware as we read the scriptures that God always deals with his people in covenants. Though God establishes several covenants with his people down through the ages, they all point to and find fulfillment in the new covenant through the blood of Christ, through his progressive revelation as we read the scriptures. And this doesn't mean that God has changed. No, he is immutable. But man is mutable and changing. His love and his faithfulness and obedience to God waxes and wanes. And so God deals with men through progressive revelation in different ways. It's also important to note that God always deals mercifully with his people. God was not unmerciful in the Old Testament and merciful in the New. God always deals mercifully to his people through his covenants. He always acts mercifully towards his people, even in judgments and chastisements. In fact, one of the earliest covenants, if you want to call it that, after the fall, was a covenant of mercy, was the proto-evangel found in Genesis 3:15, which speaks of the new covenant. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And that's, of course, the new covenant, Jeremiah 31:33. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declare the Lord. I will put a new law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Well, certainly the greatest display of God's mercy is in the new covenant, in the blood of Christ. That which we celebrate in the Lord's Supper and in that sin offering, where the eternally effective once for all blood of the Lamb is sprinkled on the mercy seat of God. Which brings us to the second way God has displayed his mercy. Secondly, God displays his mercy in his Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the supreme display of God's mercy to us is surely seen in his Son. As the world beholds Christ in his incarnation shown to us in the pages of the gospel, we can honestly say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we have seen his glory. That glory he showed in a passing shadow to Moses, he has shown it to us in his Son. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Mercy, for Christ bears the very imprint of his nature, for he is God. Like God, he is mercy. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's mercy, sovereignly displayed to the undeserving sinner through the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Where better place to go than Ephesians 2? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. Brothers and sisters, friends, here today, this is how God has displayed his mercy to us. supremely and primarily his covenant with man and in his Son. Let's move to our third and final point, number three. This leads to the conclusion where we need to get to. How are we to be merciful? How are we to be merciful? Just have two sub-points as we close, and these points are really by way of application to each one of our hearts. Having received mercy, how do we display mercy towards others? Number one, sub-point number one, by being imitators of God's mercy. By being imitators of God's mercy. Since God is mercy, and the mercy of God we have seen is a perfection, it's not a passion or an emotion, and God cannot be moved to mercy in the way that we are, how then are we to imitate this perfection and God's mercy? This seems impossible. And indeed, it is impossible to imitate God's mercy in his perfections. And yet the Bible tells us we are to be merciful, and the merciful will receive mercy. Luke chapter 6, 36. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Now we know that the mercy of God is helping the helpless. And we know that God's mercy is given sovereignly to the undeserving and is given unconditionally. God's mercy cannot be earned in any way. There is nothing that man can do to move God to act mercifully towards him. And yet God is merciful simply because he is. He is God. And God is a God who is full of mercy. He is rich in mercy. How then do we show mercy as we are commanded to? The answer lies in the point we've just noted already. God has displayed his mercy supremely and primarily in his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have eternal life. And that is exactly who we look to for our pattern of mercy, to the Son of God, very God and very man. Jesus Christ is 100% God, but he is also the eternal incarnate Son. He is 100% perfect man. And Jesus Christ in his incarnation clothed himself with humanity. And the scriptures describe him as having one with passions like man, yet without sin. Jesus Christ is the very embodiment of the Father, but human and divine. Christ could therefore, like man, but perfectly, be touched with our infirmities, could feel hunger and pain, could grieve, could be troubled in his spirit. As we've seen in John, he wept over the grave of Lazarus. He wept over Jerusalem. How often do we read in the scriptures, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him or her or the crowd and he had compassion for them, for suffering, for pain, for hunger, for disease, for all the effects of sin on the human race. Jesus showed the world compassion from start to finish throughout his life on earth. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' love and compassion for his church, for that gift from his Father, was especially and intensely merciful, so that he gave up his very life. No one took it from him. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, his mercy, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is mercy. This is free grace. This is undeserved, unmerited favor. And we behold the mercy of God eternally in the Son of God. That, brothers and sisters, is how we ought to show mercy. For Christ left us a very clear sounding bell, a bell sounding out what mercy, that we may see what mercy is, and that we may follow the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sought retribution or revenge on this earth, and we all do. We love to see the wicked caught and punished. Christ never sought retribution or revenge, but showed only mercy. You remember on the cross, Christ, on behalf of those men in front of him, cries out to the Father, to those who nailed him on the tree, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So when Christ shows mercy, we see the Father's mercy. When Christ says, "Be merciful," he has already showed us what mercy looks like when he was on this earth, in every action and in every word, in his deeds, in his love and his compassion, his feeding of the hungry, the healing of sins, the forgiving of sins, and sin weeping over the, in weeping over the sin of Jerusalem. He is love, he is mercy, and he is compassion, for he is God. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Aspire to be like him. Here is our pattern for being and showing mercy to our brothers and to our sisters, to our neighbor, to the world, to our colleagues, to our employers, to our enemies. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, "I've been young and I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing." Mercy is commanded in the Old Testament. Mercy is commanded by Christ in the New Testament. The truly blessed man is the merciful man. Blessed are the merciful. They will receive mercy. And brothers and sisters, we know. Now, ladies are so good at this. And there's much mercy among us. We know how to show mercy and compassion by feeding, by tending for the sick, and doing so many practical things that we can do. But I want us to just note four things of the greatest mercy that we can show. And that is soul mercy. The greatest mercy we can show is to the souls of men. Let's just mention four things. Number one, and Pastor Sam spoke about that this morning, by praying for one another and all people, we show mercy. By praying for one another and all people, we show mercy. James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins one to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its working." And this is how God chooses to bring mercy to us, through the prayers of his people. If you read the Old Testament and the judgments that God often was about to bring on the people, and Moses prays and his prophets pray, "Lord, be merciful," and God is merciful through the prayers of his people. And this is so clear throughout the Old and New Testaments. Pray, 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 pray without ceasing. Pray on every occasion. Ephesians 6:18, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayers and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." This is one of the greatest ways in which you can show soul mercy. Secondly, by the ministry of the word to the souls of men. By the ministry of the word to the souls of men, we show mercy. 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." The greatest mercy you can show is to bring the sinner under the preaching of the gospel, the means of grace that Pastor Sam spoke about this very morning. The greatest mercy you can do to your fellow believer is to make sure that they do not give up the habit of meeting together. For there is continued mercy and grace in the means of grace that God brings in his promise to be with his people when they meet. Thirdly, by showing pity to all men, we show mercy. By showing pity to all men, we show mercy. Whether deserving or undeserving. And it's so much easier to show mercy to someone who's deserving. It wasn't his fault. The stock market collapsed, and that's why he has no job, so we show mercy. Why must I show mercy to this man? He's just too lazy to work. Whether deserving or undeserving, have we not all cried like the psalmist, like the writer in 1 Chronicles 21:13, and it was the psalmist, in fact, because David said to God, said to Gad, I am in distress, let me fall into the hand of the Lord, when he was given options, for his mercy is very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. Were we not all like that, like all men, without God, without hope in the world, yet God had mercy on us. Mercy is commanded in the law of God, even to our enemies, even to the wicked man. Exodus 23:5. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. Yes, rescue the animal also. Fourthly, by reproving sinners and our brothers in Christ, we show mercy. By reproving sinners and our brothers in Christ, we show mercy. Leviticus 19:17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. Titus 1:13, this testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply. And this is necessary sometime to a brother or a sister in the Lord. Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Show mercy with fear, says Jude 23. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Brothers and sisters, we are to show soul mercy. Strengthen the weak. Direct the hungry, the wandering. Raise up those who have fallen. James 5:20, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This leads us to our second and final sub-point regarding the reward promised to those who show mercy. Number two, we display mercy because of God's mercy to us. Remember in the beginning I said some people get it the wrong way around? Well, this is the right way around. We display mercy because of God's mercy to us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We are not promised mercy because of our mercy to others, but because of God's mercy to us. We are not promised mercy because of our mercy to others, but because of God's mercy to us. Just like the four Beatitudes, we receive the reward because we have possessed the condition, for it is given by God in the gospel. However, when we get to the fifth Beatitude, does this mean, as it seems to imply, that if we do not show mercy to others, God will not have mercy on us? Well, brothers and sisters, then not one of us here would have received the mercy of God. And it will make our mercy towards others a meritorious work or good deeds in order to obtain the mercy of God. This would no longer be the gospel of grace, because grace is not grace unless grace is free. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. And then, And only then, after the gospel, which imparts spiritual life to us, follows good works because of God's mercy and grace to us. Verse 10 in that Ephesians 2, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Not good works in order to receive mercy, but good works because we have received mercy and grace. And those good works which God has prepared beforehand that we should work in them. If we are merciful to others, it is precisely because of God's mercy to us first. It's the Spirit of God that works these things in us, and we are enabled by his grace to show mercy, and we can do no other. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the evidence of God's mercy to us. And if we cannot show mercy, or if we refuse to show mercy to somebody else, it is a sure sign that we have not been recipients of God's mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. But do not be deceived, brothers. The responsibility rests on us in our new man to love and to forgive and to show mercy and to be holy as God is holy. But there is no merit in it. There is no righteousness in us. It is Christ and Christ alone that can satisfy. And it is by Christ's perfectly finished work that these graces are imputed to us and worked in us in our sanctification by the Holy Spirit. And yet today, it is God's mercy alone to us that enables us, constrains us to be merciful. Again, God commands it, and God in his grace gives it, both the desire and the will. We are not promised mercy because of our mercy to others, but because of God's mercy to us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we stand amazed in your presence when we consider and reflect on your holy perfections. How we thank you that you are a God who is rich in mercy, and you continue to give us mercy and grace by your presence and in your word and by your Spirit, and you enable us to show the mercy that we saw in our Savior here on earth. Mercy to the undeserving. Oh, Father, we pray, help us to see our Savior. Help us by your Spirit to display, to manifest just a tiny bit of that great mercy of God as we see it in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. Help us to be merciful in thought and word and deed and in prayers and in your word to your saints. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory.